It always seems hard to believe at this time of year, but the reality of the annual cycle continues on despite our unbelief. The Feast of Tabernacles has come and gone, and now our national celebration of Thanksgiving is nearly upon us. In fact, our congregational Thanksgiving dinner is next week, and less than 2 weeks after that, the holiday itself. If those statistics aren't enough to bring it into reality, Mandy was at the grocery store yesterday just after they put out the turkeys, and she bought a 25-pound turkey. It makes you wonder if there was some kind of mistake. Maybe some ostrich was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? I knew I shouldn't have followed those other birds. Anyway, we've got a 25-pound turkey in our freezer now as evidence that it really is this late in the year. Of course, Thanksgiving is about a lot more than seeing how many ways you can serve turkey at every meal for a week and a half straight, isn't it? Although much of the focus on gratitude has been lost in general society, our national Thanksgiving celebration has a long history of emphasizing the need to express thankfulness to God for his many blessings. In the same way that we often have an offertory message in advance of a holy day so that we can think about our individual offerings, the purpose of this message in advance of Thanksgiving and our Thanksgiving potluck is to provide time to reflect on what we can be thankful to God for. Especially with this year's observation of the Feast of Tabernacles falling relatively late in the year, it's a good time to take the opportunity to connect the spiritual blessings that we've just received with the annual focus in our nation on thanks and gratitude. So in the time that we have remaining, let's review Luke's account of the 10 lepers who cried out to Jesus Christ and received miraculous healing from him. As we do, we'll note some lessons that we can connect with the gratefulness that we should be showing to God, and especially in this season, after having completed the annual cycle of God's incredible feasts. Let's go to Luke 17, Luke chapter 17, and you might want to put your Bible marker here if you have one. We'll be back and forth a bit, but primarily in Luke 17. Luke 17, and we'll start in verse 11. Now it happened, as he, Jesus, went through Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Luke's description of the lepers standing afar off would not have been a figure of speech. In fact, they were likely a considerable distance off due to the Levitical cleanliness laws that required lepers to be isolated and quarantined as long as their leprosy remained. Let's go back to Leviticus 13, Leviticus 13, and just review a couple of passages and try to think about the impact of what that would have been like. Leviticus 13, if you have 2 Bible markers, you might put the other one here or keep a finger here. We'll be back here one more time. Leviticus 13, verse 3. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body. This is the body of anyone who has come to the priest thinking that they may have leprosy. And if the hair on the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. Now, the New King James Version in the margin, it notes that unclean could also be translated as defiled. So the priest makes this pronouncement of uncleanliness, and just kind of think about that and put yourself in that place, being pronounced unclean or defiled in status. Verse 45. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. Verse 46, he shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. There are a few you know, passages in the Bible where things are repeated for emphasis. And again, put yourself in the place of this person. In case it's not clear yet, your status is unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. Possibly the most impactful portion of this pronouncement. He shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So as these verses describe, the separation of a leper from the main body of the congregation was pretty complete. It's difficult to fully internalize the depth of impact for those individuals and for their families. What life was like for those who were compelled to live, as it says, outside the gate. Back to Luke 17. Luke 17, we'll pick up the story again in verse 13. Luke 17, 13, and they, the 10 lepers, lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now it's safe to assume that these men were crying out to Jesus with great sincerity and fervency, a depth of earnestness that we as humans seldom seem to reach unless we are truly hurting in some way. As William Barclay describes it in his commentary on this account, it is, quote, in some time of bitter need that we pray with desperate intensity. Jesus' instruction for these men to show themselves to the priests refers back again to the Levitical laws concerning leprosy. So in Leviticus 13, we saw it was the priests that pronounced a person unclean. It was also the priests who were able to declare them clean. Let's go back to Leviticus 13 one more time, and this time we'll look at verses 16 and 17. Leviticus 13, verse 16, or if the raw flesh changes and turns white again, he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall examine him, and indeed if the sore is turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, who has the sore. He is clean. So that's the last time we'll be in Leviticus 13, if you want to come back to Luke 17. So this pronouncement from the priest of being clean, undefiled, again, would have been an enormous relief and blessing to those who received that gift and their loved ones. Jesus had told these individuals, these 10 men, to go and see the priests, and on the way, before they had yet arrived, they became clean through a miraculous, merciful gift of healing that he granted to them. What an incredible feeling that must have been to experience the power of that physical transformation in their lives. Luke 17, verse 15, picking up the story again. And one of them, one of the 10 lepers, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. So this wasn't, you know, just a thank you card in the mail or going up with a casual handshake and a casual thank you. He was truly, deeply thankful. And he was a Samaritan, it says at the end of verse 16. So when Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So no doubt, all 10 of the lepers had been overjoyed when the reality of what had happened to them became apparent on their way to the priests. They had been made whole, and due to the nature of their illness and the isolation that it required, that meant not only an end to their bodily suffering, but also an end to loneliness, to emotional and spiritual relational loss, as now they could be able to reunite with their family and with their friends and with the community. All 10 received the same enormous blessing of complete and instantaneous healing. And undoubtedly, again, all 10 rejoiced when they received it. But only one was moved within himself to return and act on the thankfulness that he felt by showing it, by taking the time and making the effort to express the gratitude to the source of the blessing that he had received. And it says, as it happened, that one man was a Samaritan, a foreigner, one who would have been despised and hated by the religious establishment and also at large in society. And yet, despite that social status, it was that individual who responded to God properly when thanks and gratitude was really the only right reply. What about you and I? We might not have experienced the pain of leprosy and the exhilaration of being healed from it, but there are striking parallels in our forgiveness and healing through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. We are all spiritually unclean, defiled without that sacrifice. But with that great gift, we are cleansed and able to have fellowship again. Do we return to give thanks? How about the gift that we receive in keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, which is still fresh in our minds? We live in a world of uncleanness, and during that time, we have the opportunity to spiritually and even physically, to a large degree, come out of that world and be refreshed with cleansing. On top of that, during the observance of the feast, we receive reassurance of God's promises to bring all who are willing into his family and to bless us as first fruits with the opportunity to be kings and priests in his kingdom. The 10 lepers all received a really powerful manifestation of God's blessings in the miracle of the physical healing that they experienced. We just received a powerful manifestation of his spiritual blessings in the miracles of renewed forgiveness and reconfirmed revelation at the Feast of Tabernacles. The things that we heard are a miracle of opening our minds and revealing what is possible and what will happen with mankind in the future. Why should we strive to be like the one man, the one leper who felt gratitude and acted and expressed it? Luke 17, verse 19. And he, Jesus, said to him, the one leper who returned, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." The word translated as "well" in this verse could also be translated as "whole." Your faith, your active belief, combined with gratitude, has made you whole. This word denotes both restoration to physical health, as it happened to the lepers, but beyond that, a safety and preservation from physical and spiritual dangers. I'd like to take a partial page out of Mr. McNeely's sermonette playbook from last week and also read the next two verses after the account of the 10 lepers. And we don't know for sure if this conversation described in these two verses happened immediately after the lepers were cleansed or if some time passed, but regardless, there's a very meaningful connection with our topic here. Luke 17, verse 20. Now when he, Jesus, was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation." Verse 21. "Nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." In the New King James Version, the margin notes state that this phrase "within you" could also be translated "in your midst," in your midst. Stating that the kingdom of God was in their midst seems to refer primarily to his own presence among the people at that moment. But there's also an application of the concept for the Feast of Tabernacles, isn't there? We often say that the feast is a foretaste of the kingdom. It's a sneak peek, a preview, a trailer. You actually get to see, to feel, to experience a part of what it will be like to be in the kingdom. Have we returned to give thanks for that great miracle of both revelation and experience? So in conclusion, we've reviewed Luke's account of the 10 lepers and connected some of the lessons from what transpired in that occurrence with some very recent and relevant reasons that we have to be thankful and to show gratitude to God, who is the source of all of our blessings. As we take time to focus on thankfulness this year, let's strive to be like that one leper who both felt gratitude and acted by expressing it to God. If we do so, and if we do that more frequently, making thankfulness to God a habitual priority, our lives will be blessed with a wholeness that cannot be experienced without gratitude.